Garden Nerd Tip of the Week podcast, where we spend time chatting with expert gardening guests and we ask for their favorite tip. I'm Christy Wilhelmi. Thanks for joining me. My guest today is Nikki Jabor, author of 3 gardening books and writer for the website Savvy Gardening, as well as for Horticulture Magazine. Her first book, The Year-Round Vegetable Gardener, won the American Horticultural Society's 2012 Book Award, and her latest book just won the 2019 Book Award. Nikki hosts a gardening radio program called The Weekend Gardener in Nova Scotia, Canada, where she lives and gardens year-round. Nikki, welcome to the podcast.
Hey, Christy, thanks for having me. I'm excited to be here.
I'm so glad, too. And congratulations on your Silver Award from the Garden Writers Association for your new book and for the American Horticultural Society Book Award. That's incredible.
Thank you so much. I got to say, I was driving in the car when, and I had stopped, you know, get groceries, and I looked at my phone, and there was a text from my editor saying it had won the 2019 American Horticultural Society Book Award, and I was so happy. I was so excited because it wasn't on my radar. And yeah, I'm just so glad that people have enjoyed this book as much as I have, because for me, it was a passion project. So it's something I've wanted to write for a long time. So I was super excited to get a chance to do that.
Excellent. Well, we met, I believe it was at the Garden Writers Association Symposium in Quebec. But I think before that, you had me on your radio show. And now is my chance to return the favor. And through the magic of Skype, you're chatting from Nova Scotia. Can you describe your growing season for our listeners there?
Absolutely. Well, Nova Scotia is zone 5, 6, depending where you are in the province. And we are on the east coast of Canada. I like to tell my American friends that if they drive north from New York City, they'll get here in about 12 hours. yeah, and we're almost completely surrounded by ocean. We're not quite an island. But the ocean does affect our gardens, and it does extend our growing season a bit versus, say, Maine, which although is more south, it's not quite as warm as I am here in Nova Scotia. So we garden, I mean, traditionally, I guess, growing up, my little vegetable garden was, you know, something we had from, you know, late May, you'd plant it, and then we'd harvest it early September, and it was, but, you know, once I had my own house and my own garden, I really wanted to kind of go further along with that, so I've been playing ever since with extending my season.
Nice. Now, your first book, The Year-Round Vegetable Gardener, was a huge success, and I think I saw on your website, in your bio somewhere, that you have more than 140,000 copies out there in the world of your books. Am I correct in assuming that it's based on your own garden space, right?
It is, yeah. So, I mean, the cover of that book is me in February opening a cold frame. And I remember we did the photo shoot, and the photographer was from Alabama, and my editor was from Massachusetts. And they were like, you know, they came up to the garden, and I was like, well, let's open the cold frame. They're like, there's not going to be anything there. It's covered in snow. It's February. And I think at that point, they were like, what are we doing? And I opened it up, and it looked and it smelled like spring. And it was kind of like, I think, their aha moment. And I was like, you see?
That's why we're doing this. Yeah, exactly.
Exactly.
So can you describe your garden and the components that you use that allow you to grow year-round?
Sure. Well, my garden has changed a lot over the years. In fact, since I wrote The Year-Round Vegetable Gardener, I did a complete garden renovation. I think that was in 2015. Huh? And I bulldozed it all. And I got to say, I was a little nervous because we did that. And then my husband slipped a disc in just as we were starting the renovation. And it took about a month before we were able to get back on track and, you know, build some of the beds and get things ready. So I was a little worried for a bit that I wouldn't have a garden that year because we had planned to build all of these raised beds from local untreated hemlock. And we ended up with 20 raised beds. And I do have the garden design on my Savvy Gardening website. But yeah, 20 raised beds. I've got loads and loads of trellises and tunnels. I also now have a polytunnel, which I've only added just over a year ago. But for me, the winter garden, it doesn't matter, you know, that I've renovated my garden. My techniques stay the same. I use deep mulching for a lot of things like carrots and beets and leeks and stuff like that. Mm-hmm. But then I also use, I don't use any heat. So it's all in heated structures. I use mini hoop tunnels, which I make from conduit, either PVC or metal, and I just cover those in either row covers or clear plastic, depending on the time of year. I use cold frames, you know, and I now have a poly Valley Tunnel, which is fantastic. I had a very productive season last winter with all that extra space. So in the middle of winter, like it'd be in January, and it would be like 40 degrees in there, even when it was like in the minus somethings outside. And I could just sit in there because I made a little sitting area in a corner and just enjoy watching all those little cold season vegetables grow. So I use lots of different kinds of devices, and I use, you know, covers even in summer. So I use covers all of every month in the year. There's different types of covers in my garden, whether they're keeping insects out or whether they're protecting from frost or cold weather. I think it's just kind of upped my garden game, really.
That's cool. And so you, how big is your garden? It sounds like you have a lot of room.
Well, I don't think I do. I don't know if any gardener thinks they have enough room. I would love some more beds for more things like potatoes, you know, things that take up a lot of room. But so I would love more room. But I have 20 raised beds, and they're either 4 by 8 feet or 4 by 10 feet. Plus, I use about 10 straw bales every year to make some straw bale gardens. I do have a lot of room. I have the polytunnel beds too, but there's always room for more is what I can say.
Of course, I know. And how big is your polytunnel? Because that's a walk-in, basically like a greenhouse, but it's a dome, right?
Correct. Yeah, so the polytunnel is 14 feet wide, 24 feet long, and, you know, it's a great size. It is a professional-grade structure, which means it's very strong. We can get a lot of snow here on the East Coast, and I wanted to make sure it could put up with hurricanes and, like, heavy snow load, so it's a really nice structure, and even through all the heavy storms we had last winter, it just shrugged it all off, so it was fantastic that way, but I kind of was first eyeing, like, a geodesic dome, mm-hmm. But they're really, yeah, they're hard to find locally here, and even in Canada, it's hard to source them, and the cost would have been far more. So I stuck with a simple polytunnel. And, you know, my gosh, again, it's been super effective for me. And it's really like it allowed me to harvest so much more from my outdoor space.
That's so great. And are you growing in the ground inside the polytunnel or in raised beds?
I have raised beds inside the polytunnel. I have 2 raised beds that are 3 feet by about 20 feet long. And so I'm growing in those. Now, I mean, it is in the ground. They're only about 8 feet tall, but I did excavate about 1.5 feet down. And I put in new soil and, you know, I put some weed barrier underneath it, professional grade, because I have some tenacious weeds if I didn't do that. And so I'm growing in those beds. But down the middle of the structure, I've got some fabric planters, some smart pot beds. And I have, I think, 3 of them, and they're about 6 feet long each. So it's about 18 feet of smart pots. And I have cucumbers, and I have melons, and I have tomatoes growing vertically on strings from the trusses down there. And oh my gosh, it's amazing to start to harvest cucumbers in Nova Scotia in like mid-June versus late July, which would normally be when we would start to get them. So it's really pushed my season 6 weeks ahead. And this was a tough, tough spring this year. It was cold forever and it rained so much that if I didn't have the polytunnel, like we were 3 to 4 weeks behind planting season. So it really helped me get that jump on the season.
Yeah, it's so great. I think, you know, and here, in Southern California, we had a really long, cool spring, which is unusual. And we never know whether it's going to be another spring, like basically a summer, or a cool spring. And so we're sort of at the ready for hot weather crops to go in March, but sometimes we get a little bit longer. And right now, like we're basically putting in our second round of summer crops. So I just planted cucumbers and another round of squash and that kind of thing. So what have you said you have cucumbers that you're harvesting now?
I do. I have some that I'm harvesting now. Well, I'm a big succession planter. So yes, I put in early cucumbers and we're harvesting those in the polytunnel. But then just a couple weeks ago, I put more cucumbers in the polytunnel. So they're going to come along and fill that gap once the initial ones have pretty much finished producing. But I also have them in the garden, of course. I think I'm growing 17 varieties of cucumbers this year.
Oh my God. Okay.
Listen, I don't know what to say. I need help. I don't know what to say. I mean, who needs that many cucumbers? But the seed cat, you know what it's like with the seed cat?
Oh, I know.
In January.
It's an addiction. It's a thing. So
yeah.
I'm going to jump to another question that I have. It's a little further down on my list of things to ask you because you've just brought it up. But like, what are your favorite crops and more specifically the varieties that you like to grow where you live?
Oh my gosh. I have a lot of favorite crops and my garden's a bit weird though, because, you know, as a garden communicator, you know, Like, this is a book photography year for me, which means I have to grow things for the book.
Yes.
Which means I don't always get to grow what I want. So it's a bit of a weird garden. But I definitely still have a lot of my favorite crops growing this year. I kind of love beans, and maybe that sounds super boring, but that was one of the first vegetables I would eat as a kid. Mm-hmm. So I love all the yellow wax beans. I love growing purple beans, soybeans, all the different kinds of pole beans. So I love growing beans. But of course I love the tomatoes, and who doesn't love all the heirloom tomatoes? Now, I also grow a lot of hybrids as well, because, you know, we do have problems with early blight here. And so I'm growing a lot of resistant varieties, you know, like Defiant and Mountain Merit. So I grow those. But then I also grow my favorite heirlooms like Costoludo and Purple Cherokee and Cherokee Purple, I should say, sorry. And of course, Sun Gold, that beautiful hybrid mm-hmm. tomato with the golden, delicious sugary fruits. So I'm growing a lot of those. And cucumbers, oh my gosh. Like, as I mentioned, I've
27 varieties.
17.
Okay.
I probably could have done 27. I mean, I'm growing some really neat ones. Itachi, which is a white Asian type cucumber. And I think the Asian cucumbers are my favorite. They have such a nice, mild flavor. And so this is like a pure, like, pale, cream-colored cucumber. Picolino is a great one. It's like a cocktail cucumber. So I'm growing that and excited about it. Quirk. I think that's what I'm most excited about. This is a tiny little mini cucumber that is like really the size of your thumb, but half of it is green and the other half of it is like pale cream, almost white. And it's this funny little snacking cucumber, and it's so adorable, and it's produced in these wonderful clusters on the plants. So quirk is definitely one I'm super excited to grow this year.
Cool. And I saw on your Instagram feed you had a Mexican sour gherkin cucumber as well.
Yes, well, the cucamelons or the Mexican sour gherkins or the most melons or whatever you want to call them, they're the most popular vegetable in our garden by far. I think I grow about 12 plants, and we get hundreds and hundreds and hundreds of these. And I did put one in my polytunnel as well, and it's kind of taken over the whole back wall.
Oh.
I hung up mesh, and it looks amazing. And yeah, so I mean, that is where I'm harvesting now, and the garden ones are probably not going to start producing for another 2 or 3 weeks. So I've got that gap filled, and then we're going to have those until the hard frost in late October.
Okay, so you get to go until October. That's nice. And is that because of the coastal influence?
Yes. Now, that said, last year we had, unfortunately, an early unexpected frost that was very not normal.
Oh.
It was unusual. And that happened in September. But usually my garden is frost-free, at least from a hard frost, until mid-October, although that can vary from year to year. It's one of the reasons I became a year-round vegetable gardener, because all these covers help me extend my season. So that's one of the reasons. I do use a lot of these covers. I never know if we're going to get an early frost or not. So that helps, you know, just mitigate any potential damage.
Nice. Let's talk about your latest book, Veggie Garden Remix, 224 new plants to shake up your garden and add variety, flavor, and fun. What are some of the unusual varieties that you feature in this book?
Oh my gosh. Yeah. There's a lot of unusual crops and unusual varieties in this book. And it was so much fun to write. I love the folks at Story Publishing, you know, because when I came to them with this book, they were like, yeah, which is awesome. I mean, I've got everything from purple peas and yellow peas, like golden sweet, to some really neat tomatoes. Of course, there's also unusual crops, like your, you know, cucamelons and ground cherries, which I've kind of made it my mission the past year or so to make everybody plant ground cherries in their garden.
Mm-hmm.
Because they're so good and they're so easy to grow and they're incredibly prolific. So I love that. I love a lot of the different greens that are out there from Tokyo Bikana, to, you know, different types of greens like magenta screen, amaranth, like tricolor amaranth, even sweet potato leaves. So delicious. So there's a lot of different greens I feature in this book. And I mean, this book was actually inspired by my mother-in-law, who is a Lebanese immigrant to Canada. And I wanted to grow food that she would have recognized eating, you know, the village she grew up in the mountains of Lebanon. So that kind of put me on course for looking for a bunch of different types of vegetables like mulhei, which a lot of people would call malokia, but, you know, if you pronounce it with the Arabic accent. Also things like some of the Lebanese mountain tomatoes, things like purslane, za'atar, some of the mekti type cucumbers. So a lot of the things I started with were the Lebanese vegetables. And then I kind of got sucked into all the other things I like to eat, the Asian vegetables and Indian vegetables and Central American vegetables. And so I went down a path of all these incredible, unique, global and unusual foods and varieties. And that became the book.
Yeah, it's a rabbit hole, isn't it?
it's a dangerous rabbit hole. But luckily, I mean, when I started growing a lot of these vegetables, you know, 10 or 15 years ago, you couldn't find seeds locally. But seed catalogs have stepped up, and they're carrying so many of these varieties. It's easy to source everything in the book. There's a few things I didn't include because it wasn't easy to source them. But hopefully, maybe in a future book, I can, you know, they'll be more easy to locate for people, and I can include them then.
Right. So I'm jumping ahead again a little bit. Are you working on another book right now?
I am. I've written it, actually. I finished in the winter, and now I'm in the editing process, or I'm supposed to be. Don't tell story that I haven't touched it in weeks. I'm working on it. It's summer, though, and I've kind of switched gears now to prepping for photography. So the photographer comes tomorrow for our second photo shoot. And yeah, so the writing is done. The photography happens this year, and then, you know, they put it together. And story, I mean, they're so amazing, and they're so talented. So I think it'll be out late 2020, early 2021.
Oh, but wow. Okay.
They take a long time, but, you know, they do such a good job, so I can't complain.
Any hints, or if you can, tell us about what the subject matter is?
This one is going to build off my first book, The Year-Round Vegetable Gardener. So everything I've pretty much done since this book came out in early 2012, I'm going to share in this book. And I mean, I use covers, like I mentioned, every single season from spring, summer, fall, and winter. So I'm going to talk a lot about that. It's not a winter gardening book, but it's a book that'll show you how to garden and harvest no matter where you live 12 months of the year. So it's going to be like an updated, expanded, lots of new information and a lot more information on larger structures and summer gardening with covers as well. So there's lots of information to come.
Great. Now, as a year-round gardener, which is much like here in Southern California, where we're gardening year round, there really is no downtime in the garden. There's, you know, the soil doesn't rest, the gardener doesn't rest, and that can cause burnout for some people. So do you experience that? And if so, how do you deal with it?
I don't. I mean, you know, I'm a gardener and I love it. It's my happy place. So, I do harvest year round. We do have a definite season in terms of traditional gardening. So a lot of gardeners still really, you know, plant in May and are finished in the garden by October. But I have found, and I didn't know when I wrote Year Round Vegetable Gardener, but anybody would care about these crazy, you know, ways that I extend my season using row covers and mulches and stuff. But I find so many gardeners now have cold frames, and they send me pictures, and they tag me on their social media posts. So there's a lot of gardeners now playing with this, particularly in the 20 and 30 somethings that are now, yeah, they're extending their seasons. And I think they really enjoy the food security, the organic, you know, availability in their own backyard front yards. So I don't get garden burnout because, I mean, the garden changes every day. You know, there'll be one point I'll go up to the garden and I'm like, well, this is it. It looks perfect. And then the next day I have to pull out, you know, all the lettuces, and then it's time to put something new in, and it's totally changed. Or, you know, from spring to summer to fall to winter, it's a totally different garden all the time. So there's always fun things to do. And, you know, if I feel like I'm, you know, too busy, or if I'm falling behind, that's okay. You know, I will seed things when I get time. I will do things when I get time. And I just try to remember that. I don't let it become that mental stress for me. My garden is my happy place. And so I'm going to treat it like a stress reliever and not something that's kind of weighing on my mind that I need to do.
That's such a good attitude. I want to adopt that.
Well, I think a lot of us put so much pressure on ourselves to make everything look perfect. And you know, I mean, for me, as long as you keep on top of the weeds and don't let them flower, you know, you fill up the empty spaces with fresh seeds or seedlings, and you sit down at least once a day in your garden and just do nothing but enjoy it. I think that's all you really need to do.
That's a great idea. And I that's almost your tip, honestly, but we'll call that a bonus tip. So tell our listeners about The Weekend Gardener, your radio program.
Yeah, The Weekend Gardener celebrates 12 years in 2019.
Congrats.
Thank you very much. Yeah, we air every Sunday live for 2 hours on News 95.7 in Halifax. And we also air live online at news957.com at the same time. And then it's podcast on the website. And we have a lot of listeners. It's grown a lot over the past 12 years. I would not listen to my first year of shows if you paid me $1 million. It was so terrible. I did not know what I was doing. And now it's so much fun to do every week and talk to people like you and learn so much. You know, so it's super fun. And we have all these listeners from, you know, we get tweets throughout each show live, and we get people from Chicago and Boston and Toronto and all across Nova Scotia tweeting us during the show. And it's so much fun.
Nice. That's great. So it is tip time. Do you have a favorite tip you'd like to share with the Garden Nerd audience?
I mean, there's so many tips I could say, you know, from enjoy your garden to start small to, you know, try new vegetables. But I think the best tip I'll give you that'll tie into, you know, what I do is try a new type of garden cover this year. You know, if it's summertime, use some shade cloth to shelter your lettuce or some of your vegetables, the cool season stuff. You know, if it's spring or fall, try a row cover to help, you know, prevent frost damage and extend your harvest. Or if you're heading into winter, you know, deep mulch some of your root crops, or, you know, use a plastic covered mini hoop tunnel to extend your season by weeks or months. So try one new type of cover this year in your garden and just see how it changes your gardening.
That's a great tip. Thanks for sharing that, Nikki. And thank you for being on the Gardener Tip of the Week podcast.
Thank you so much for having me. This has been so much fun.
Sure. How do people find you?
I am online at savvygardening.com, as well as on Instagram, Twitter, and Facebook, as well as on the radio show on Sundays, news957.com. And they can find me that way and connect. And of course, my books are in bookstores across North America and beyond. So they're easy to find.
All right, garden nerds, you'll find links to Nikki Jabor's websites on gardennerd.com this week. We'll also post links to her social media feeds and her books. That's it for this week. Subscribe to this podcast on Apple Podcasts or wherever you listen. Visit us for tons of free gardening information at gardennerd.com. Show your support for this podcast and the other free stuff on Garden Nerd by becoming a Patreon subscriber. You'll find us on Instagram and Twitter under Garden Nerd 1, on Facebook as gardennerd.com, and of course, our Garden Nerd YouTube channel. Happy gardening!